When Apollo 11 touched down on the moon and astronauts were able to walk around, scientists gained a huge amount of data.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Part of that giant leap was the lunar rocks and soil that six of the Apollo missions brought back. The moon rocks that scientists study are from Apollos 11, 12, 14, 15, and 17, collected between 1969 and 1972.
Yeah, I'm looking for Carl.
Oh, hi, that's me.
I'm Carl. I'm Jennifer.
Nice to meet you.
Three geologists at Notre Dame, Carl Kronberger, Dave Burney, and Mike Torsivia.
Yeah, introduce you to the rest of the group.
Sure.
This is Dave.
Dave,
yes.
I'm Jennifer,
nice to meet you.
Work with the samples to study how the moon formed, what it's made of, and how those resources might be used for future space exploration. The most accepted theory of how the moon formed is the giant impact hypothesis, or the Big Splash. That theory says more than 4.5 billion years ago, a Mars-sized planet hit the Earth and broke into a bunch of pieces that formed a disk around the Earth. Then those pieces came together to form the moon. That coming together was really hot, says Dave Burney.
Due to the heating as it coalesced, there was a massive amount of melting that went on. And so the moon started off as mostly or entirely molten. We call that the lunar magma ocean, or LMO for short.
So then you have this body orbiting around Earth that's all liquidy. It hardened and crystallized into three layers. Burney studies the inner layer, the moon's mantle. Torsivia studies the crust, the part of the moon you can see when you look in the sky. Kronberger studies the creep, the gooey layer in between the mantle and the crust. The creep was the last to crystallize from the LMO as the moon cooled. For the two inner layers, scientists don't have pure samples. What they have are samples from the surface that either churned up from underneath or were part of that layer before or during the impact.
What I have to work with are creep basalts. These are basaltic rocks that have been contaminated, quote-unquote, with the creep component.
Burney studies mainly dust from the lunar surface that came from inside. He takes the dust, dissolves it in acid, and studies that. He calls it moon juice.
So before they launched the Apollo missions, they did as much detailed work as they could to figure out what types of rocks were there. And so they selected their locations very precisely based on that.
Because they're so rare on Earth, these samples are highly regulated by NASA, and scientists are very careful with the research they do. And scientists don't have a big old moon rock that they work with. They either get dust or thin sections, pieces of rock cut from the hole, cataloged, and then glued onto microscope slides. All of them are labeled with where they came from, Burney says.
So this one is from Apollo 11. You can see it starts with 1 on the front. And so this is initially 10050, comma. And so that's the 165th daughter sample that they took off of 10050.
They get the thin sections in these tubes that look sort of like oversized screw-top film canisters. When they're not working with them, the samples are locked in a safe. At Notre Dame, those sections are first put under a microscope.
Oh, these are actual moon rocks.
Yes.
If you want, you can drive it around. Mm-hmm. Like, by all means.
Yeah, that's fine. So it'll be out of focus.
Oh, and photographed meticulously.
One photo at a time, and then stitched together by hand.
It was many hundreds of photos. Actually, it was probably thousands of photos. But yes.
Then they're put in an instrument called a microprobe. It tells what elements the visible crystal structures are made of, says Carl Kronberger.
What's fun is you can look at this, and you instantly start to see, it's like, okay, we can see, like, the cores of these huge pyroxene crystals are all very magnesium. It's like, okay, why could that be?
They use that to figure out the best candidates for laser ablation. For that, Kronberger and Torsivia take their samples and shoot them with lasers. It drills tiny holes, sending matter into a mass spectrometer, which tells how much of what elements are in that portion of the sample. Burney uses the mass spectrometer to find out the elements in his moon juice samples as well. You can also use the mass spectrometer to deduce the age of samples using isotope ratios, Torsivia.
You measure them all at once, and depending on what ratios it spits out, you can get an age from that, and that's what this is doing.
The geologists say all the data are great, but what needs to happen next is more missions to the moon and more sample gathering. NASA has some plans to go back to the moon, or to get to Mars using the moon for its resources and a pit stop, Burney.
So if you're launching from Earth, you don't have to take everything you need to get all the way to Mars. You can stop at the moon, refuel on oxygen, refuel on fuel, and then carry on from there.
Torsivia.
It's only a 3-day trip to the moon. It's a 6 to 9 month trip to Mars. And it's a lot easier to escape the moon's gravity well than Earth's.
They say any mission like the Apollos is unlikely to ever happen again, but the time is ripe for a new age of space exploration. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Jennifer Weingart.